Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth, who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Thursday on this fourth day of March 2021. And I'm so thrilled to have back on the program a returning guest. His name is A.M. Brewster, a.k.a. Aaron Brewster. And you've probably been hearing the ads that Aaron has been running on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio every day. He, for over 10 years, has served God and his people in various capacities, including husband, father, homeschooling parent, preacher, biblical counselor, president of a nonprofit that serves Christian families, a conference speaker, a camp director, Christian school administrator, director of a boarding home for at-risk teens, podcaster, author, and host of Truth Love Parent, will address Cancel Culture and Your Kids. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, A.M. Brewster.
I was really looking forward to getting back on this show with you. I'm super excited. Thanks for the invitation.
And let me give our email address right away to our listeners in the event that they have a question on cancel culture. My email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. So before we continue with the main theme at hand, cancel culture and your kids, tell us about Truth Love Parent.
I'd love to. So Truth Love Parent started in 2016 as a podcast. I was working at a boys' home, Victory Academy for Boys, in northern Wisconsin, and I was creating a parent program for the parents whose boys were in the home with me. And I realized very quickly that the information we were putting together from the Bible for those parents had value for more than just those parents. Long story short, I thought, hey, I've never even listened to a podcast before. How about I make one? And I did just that. I started putting the information out there in podcast form, and the Lord blessed it. Spread, people responded to it, and now, almost 5 years later now, we are working on getting our 501c3 status and being a full nonprofit ministry, where we are doing three things primarily. Number one, we're creating free parenting resources, and then number two, one of those resources is the podcast, Truth Love Parent with A.M. Brewster, but we also started a second podcast called The Celebration of God, which Celebration of God is a discipleship experience that is designed specifically for parents and their children, but it goes far beyond just parenting. It's discipleship for all of God's people, and so the Celebration of God podcast was started. And then the third thing that we do is, in addition to speaking and so on and so forth, we also counsel. We're biblical counselors, and so we meet with pastors, and we meet with parents, and we meet with anyone who works with children and help to equip them to do that better and to help people with their family struggles.
And if anybody wants more information about Truth Love Parent, go to truthloveparent.com, truthloveparent.com. Well, this is something, this theme that we are addressing today is something that has been coming up a lot lately, every day in the media, and that is something known as cancel culture. If you could please, for those of our listeners who may be living in a cave somewhere, and they only listen to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, let them know about exactly what cancel culture is.
I'd love to. Not because I think cancel culture is an amazing thing, but because it's very important that we have a unified definition, and that definition to be God's definition. Cancel culture, the phrase itself is a new thing, but of course people have been doing it ever since Adam blamed Eve and also God way back in Genesis for his sin. Cain, we could say, canceled Abel by murdering him. So canceling has been going on. This idea of canceling has been going on for quite some time. And also it's important to acknowledge that cancel culture, you know, has participants on both sides of the issue, and there are various practices included in the process. However, there does seem to be some agreement on the root purpose of cancel culture. And if I could sum it up this way, I'd say that cancel culture is the act of punishing people for their beliefs. Okay, punishing people for their beliefs. Now, that's a general definition, and I think some people might be like, well, I don't know. They might have some questions. And I'm about to cite Wikipedia. I know it's not a scholarly source, but I've looked up lots of definitions for cancel culture, and I really liked theirs. Theirs was fantastic. Quote, a modern form of ostracism in which someone is thrust out of the social or professional circles. This can be online, on social media, in the real world, or both, unquote. That's Wikipedia's definition for the cancel culture, and it involves this idea of ostracism. It may involve simply shaming an individual in person or online. It may involve this group ostracism idea. There are a growing number of people losing their jobs over this as a result of cancel culture, and sometimes we're even seeing that violence is involved. Now, some people listening may say, well, no one's actually being canceled for their beliefs, Aaron. They're being canceled for their words and their actions, what they've done, not really what they believe. And in those situations, I would just point out to someone who's thinking that that the premise really is very faulty with their understanding of beliefs. Because what we do and what we say and what we feel and what we think are all consequences of our beliefs. So, yes, to cancel someone for their behavior, to cancel them for what they said, is, in fact, to punish them for their beliefs. Other people may not like this particular definition I've given because of the word punishment that I used. Okay, somebody punishing somebody else for their beliefs. But Merriam-Webster defines punishment as suffering, pain, or loss that serves as retribution. So retribution is exactly what cancel culture wants. They want to hurt you or hurt someone else for what you have done. And then I think one of the last objections a person may have to my basic definition I've given is that, you know, every authority figure on the planet is involved in cancel culture, if that's what cancel culture is. This would include police officers giving a ticket to a speeder, a parent grounding a disobedient child, and it could even be said that punishing people for their beliefs is true of God. Now, I would completely agree with that observation based off of the definition that I've given. But so I want to make my definition a little bit more specific, okay? The real problem with cancel culture is not the act of ostracizing or condemning or firing someone because of what they said or did. This can be in real life or online. It doesn't matter. That's not the real problem. Cancel culture best refers to people, whether those people are in a position of authority or not, whose punishment does not fit the crime or who is punishing a behavior that they have no right to punish. Okay, so I would say that a really good way to sum up this definition of cancel culture would be to say that it involves illegitimate authority, unrighteous punishment, or both.
And where we would distinguish liberalism from leftism would very much involve the subject today, wouldn't it? A historic liberal. The liberals that have existed for centuries and always in some way or another at odds with those who identify ourselves as conservatives, although liberals have always been at odds with us, there are some things that we have always shared in common, and freedom of speech is one of them, and other things. But a true liberal would be very upset, and should be, those that are liberals today, that are true liberals, they should be just as, if not more, upset as the conservatives are against this leftist totalitarian tactic known as cancel culture, should they not?
I would agree completely with that. I have many friends who are on both sides of the political spectrum, both conservative and liberal, and I'm finding that the ones who would not consider themselves to be leftist do have a problem. For example, this whole canceling of Dr. Seuss, you know, to think right. that I saw it on Mulberry Street, you know. They refer to that in that particular book. They make a statement about a man of Asian descent, and it seems cliche to these people. And so, okay, well, we have to get rid of the books. We're not burning them necessarily, but we're not selling them anymore either. We're discontinuing them. And I've had some liberal friends who are just astonished that we're going so far as to say you can't read the Mulberry Street from Dr. Seuss anymore.
Yeah, and Dr. Seuss was actually a liberal, and he was a champion for racial equality, not the equity that we are hearing about today, but the equality of all humans, regardless of their ethnicity, their nationality, the color of their skin. And he actually had at least one of his books specifically on that whole topic, one of his children's books, The Sneetches.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm not sure if that was the title of the book, but the Sneetches were the main characters in the book.
Yeah, exactly. That book basically said it didn't matter if you had a star on your belly or not. We are all Sneetches, and we're all in this together. And it doesn't have Bible verses in it, but by God's common grace, it is filled with biblical truth that we don't treat a person a certain way simply because of the way that they look. And that was, I mean, even Yertle the Turtle, it oftentimes people will say was an attack against totalitarian governments and people who, like Hitler, who would treat people in terrible ways based off of their ethnicity. So yeah, Dr. Seuss was this fantastic guy who wrote fantastic children's literature. And I mean, forget children's literature. I think I still have One Fish, Two Fish, Red Fish, Blue Fish memorized. and yet, because he wrote a line in a book about an Asian man with chopsticks, all of a sudden we're deciding that we must stop. Universal Studios has a whole, and my family and I, we love going to Universal Studios Park in Orlando, Florida, and they have a whole section dedicated to Dr. Seuss. And one of the sections is if I ran a zoo. And it's a bunch of stuff that kids can play on in that section. Universal Studios is discussing whether or not they need to tear down that section because if I ran a zoo was one of the books that has recently been canceled. And so you have these whole organizations, these multi-million dollar organizations submitting to this idea of cancel culture because a group of individuals has said, this is bad, we must punish it, and everyone else is running to be in line to give part of the whipping.
Yeah, and one of the classic Dr. Seuss books that has even been used by the pro-life movement is Horton Hears a Who.
Definitely.
And a person's a person's, no matter how small, and you very small persons will not have to die if you make yourself heard, so come on now, try. this is just reached a level of insanity because you have this elite, these group of people who are declaring that they are creating the dictionary or the encyclopedia, and we must all follow the definitions that they subscribe to certain things. They are the ones who are the arbiters and determiners of what is racism, what is bigotry, what is hate, what is right, and what is wrong. This is It's mind-boggling how insane a lot of this is. This is just, and I'm sure there are a lot more historically liberal people out there that are just terrified or paranoid to open their mouths about this because they recognize that their favorite political party is pushing this nonsense, and many of their Hollywood elite celebrity heroes are pushing this, and their folks in the music world that are their idols. So they keep their mouths shut, and they don't let their voices heard that they know that this is insanity. This has really become something that you wouldn't even thought would be realistic maybe 3, 4, or 5 years ago.
I'm not sure I would have thought it would have been realistic 2 years ago.
Yeah, you're right.
Honestly. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. And the word's not strong enough. I love the word that God uses in Proverbs 12:1. He says, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge. Okay, they like to learn. They like to grow. But, of course, as you said, and Truth of Parent, we've been focusing on this now for a couple seasons, the importance of the fact that God's word has to be the foundation for our family vocabularies. We have to define terms the way God does, right? But then the second part of this verse says, but he who hates reproof, right? Reproof is basically being told that you're wrong. And, of course, you know, we need to tell people that they're wrong based off of what God says is wrong and what God says is right. So it basically here says that he who hates to be told by God what is right and wrong, this is the Bible's word, is stupid. And that's not pejorative. That's not me sitting back here, you know, passing judgment on a group of people. God himself is saying that when we hate to bow to the Lord's definition of what is right and what is wrong, we are literally being stupid. And the Hebrew word being translated here has the idea of being brutish, of being senseless. And that's exactly what we're seeing in the world today. And you're right. People are afraid. Even people who completely disagree with it because they're seeing that cancel culture is going out for blood. And if you disagree with cancel culture, you can guarantee that you're going to be the next one on the list to be canceled. And who knows, you might lose your job. You might get kicked out of your social circles. You may have your house set on fire. Who knows?
Well, obviously Christian parents and leaders in the church need to help prepare children, even small ones, because they are indeed targets of the left with cancel culture and everything else that they want to push. We need to make sure that our children are aware of what's being said out there so that they have an answer for it, so that they don't become sponges and just immediately soak up everything they're hearing as truth. And I think one of the beauties of classical Christian education, I don't know how familiar you are with classical Christian education or how much you are involved in supporting it, but one of the things I love about it is that they don't keep children isolated from everything that has been said and taught and written about and promoted in secular society just because they're a Christian school. They want the children being educated to hear first, if possible, from Christians what the enemy of what the enemies of Christ and his word are saying, so that they can have a biblical and an intelligent response to that. Am I making sense here?
Oh, definitely. In fact, I just referenced that same concept. I'm in the middle of a series right now called The Biggest Parenting Challenges You Will Ever Face. In fact, this series was actually inspired by our last interview that we had talking about, parenting challenges, modern parenting challenges. And one of the observations that I made was the fact that some people, in an attempt to guard their children's definition of morality, they will try to keep them separated from every form of every definition of morality that is not their own. So, you know, we don't want our kids interacting with any books or movies or music or people who disagree with our morality, lest our kids come to believe that our definition of morality isn't the right one. And I pointed out on that particular episode that A, is not very smart, and I also pointed out that it doesn't work very well. I mean, consider North Korea. All right, they as a country are trying to do that. Like, we can keep our people ignorant of Western thoughts, they'll hopefully buy into our concept of morality. But it's not working. It's never worked to just try to isolate everyone from reality. In fact, we're told in Proverbs 18 that a person who isolates himself is doing so for the wrong reasons. And so you're right. Exposing our children to what's going on, having these conversations so they understand why people are doing what they're doing on both sides, and then helping them see how God would have them navigate these issues is the way that biblical Christian parents need to approach it.
And one of the ways that this whole cancel culture is a manifestation of totalitarian leftism and not liberalism is because eventually you're going to have the tiny handful of an elite group, elite in their own minds, of course, who even exist after everything else is smoldering in the ashes, because it's a very cannibalistic concept. You more and more hear about even those that were considered a part of the left. We could even consider Dr. Seuss being a part of that, who have been there have been attempts to annihilate them from public view, public hearing. And this just keeps progressing. There is a hunger, isn't there? There is a hunger on the part of these proud and arrogant and self-righteous elitists to continue to hunt down and dig up things that they can attempt to remove from society that they don't believe fits their worldview. Am I right?
Yeah, that's exactly what totalitarianism has to do. They have to totally 100% be in control, and it has to be the smallest group of people possible. That's what despotism is all about. And, of course, I have to clarify one statement you made. Yes, generally speaking, that is true that they have to stamp out everyone, and they have to, you know, knock everyone down when they do things that they don't like. But the problem is that that's not always the case. Perfect example is, you know, Judge Kavanaugh, because of something that he supposedly did at a party when in college, the whole Me Too movement pretty much grew out of that. People were looking to cancel him everywhere. They had all these hearings, right? But a sitting governor in New York who has sexual misconduct accusations coming against him, and people of the leftist establishment are sitting back going, yeah, but a lot of those things he said, he wasn't on the job when he said them. Well, hold on. He was a sitting governor. Whether he was on the clock or not, that's completely different than a guy being held responsible for something that he supposedly did when he was in college. And so they're not even consistent with the behaviors that they want to cancel. It really is about canceling people. And that's why they're so inconsistent in how they apply the cancellation. Because they will latch at anything that they can latch on to say, I don't like you, and so I'm going to use all of these reasons to cancel you. But when they find out that those exact same reasons apply to people in their camp, they go, oh, well, that's okay, because this person, you know, is a leftist, or this person agrees with our ideology.
Yeah, the feminists have been doing this for decades. But just as with Governor Cuomo, there are more and more exceptions on the left coming out of the woodwork who are trying to be consistent. Because not long ago, a leftist like Governor Cuomo would hear absolutely no opposition from the left. Now you are at least hearing some. And amazingly, many in the left finally acquiesced and came to admit that Margaret Sanger, for instance, the founder of Planned Parenthood, was indeed a racist. She was indeed a champion of eugenics who desired to wipe out all the non-white races, originally through sterilization and then later through abortion. But even though what you're saying, I believe, is absolutely correct, and it's infuriating and inconsistent, you are starting to hear more and more opposition from the left, from people who are guilty of the things that go against the ideology of the woke movement. But in certain circumstances, though, however, obviously, even you and I, as conservative Christians, we are opposed to women, or anyone else for that matter, being sexually abused, sexually harassed, and on we go. So it's one of those odd things, you know, and even throughout the history of feminism, there's always been some unlikely unions between leftist feminists or liberal feminists and conservative evangelical Christians on things like pornography and so on. That might not be so much of an issue today, but the feminists used to typically be guaranteed to be opposed to pornography. So not everything's monolithic.
That's very true. Sometimes, praise God, logic wins out.
That's right. We have to go to our first break right now. And as I said before, if anybody wants to join us with a question of your own for A.M. Brewster on cancel culture and our children, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence. If you live outside the USA, only remain anonymous if your question is personal and private. We'll be right back with A.M. Brewster right after these messages, so don't go away.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. My friend Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I are headed down to Atlanta, Georgia once again for the G3 Conference. This year's G3 will be held Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October 2nd on the theme, Christ is Supreme Over All. I'll be joined by over 20 other speakers and musicians to lead in the worship of God through preaching, teaching, and singing, including John MacArthur, Phil Johnson, Conrad Mbewe, Daryl Bernard Harrison, and Virgil Walker. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. Chris Arnson and I hope to see you September 30th through October 2nd at G321. This is James White reminding you that Christ is supreme over all.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart?
consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order. We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gotti. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this: I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio depends upon the financial support of fine Christian organizations to remain on the air, like the Historical Bible Society. The Historical Bible Society maintains a collection of Christian books, manuscripts, and Bibles of historical significance spanning nearly 1,000 years. The mission of HBS is the preservation and public display of ancient scripture, dissemination of scripture, to provide tools equipping believers in Christian apologetics with evidence for the Bible's reliability, and to introduce Reformation literature and Christian art to a broader audience. Since 2004, HBS has toured schools and churches throughout the Northeast United States. reaching thousands of believers and non-believers alike who are hungry for knowledge of the Bible. HBS's founder, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, is committed to sharing this collection along with an inspirational historical message that will captivate you and your church. Come journey through their website, historicalbiblesociety.org. The collection includes a complete 11th century Bible, an actual page of the Gutenberg Bible from 1455, the first book ever printed, the Geneva Bible, the 1611 King James Bible, and much, much more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org today. Thank you, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, for your faithful support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, for a donation of at least $35 to the Historical Bible Society, we'll get you a 44-page book on the genealogy of Jesus Christ. It is a beautiful 9-by-12-inch book, very large in dimension, on the genealogy of Jesus Christ that is printed directly from a first edition King James Bible in 1611. So the artwork is really spectacular. Every page containing a genealogy from the scriptures. And it looks as if it's been printed on parchment paper. It's really an attractive book. You'll get that for your donation of $35 or more at historicalbiblesociety.org, historicalbiblesociety.org. And remember, donations to the Historical Bible Society are helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air because they are one of our major supporters. And we thank Dan Buttafuoco, attorney at law, and the folks at the Historical Bible Society for renewing their advertising contract with us. We are now back with A.M. Brewster, a biblical counselor, and he is also the founder of Truth Love Parent. We are discussing cancel culture and your kids. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you are sending in a question or comment. We have a comment from Tom in West Islip, Long Island, New York. And Tom says, a young man in Geneseo, New York, going to college there, has been suspended from his education program for putting on Instagram that he believed there was only two genders. Outside of the fact that I find that to be a violation of his First Amendment rights, I am fearful even voicing my opinion that what they're doing is wrong given the ramifications that might occur on my job and also to my daughter who attends the same college. We really are in a bad position right now. Not sure how this is going to end, but it really doesn't look like it will be peaceful. And any comments, Aaron?
Definitely. I do have a comment for that. Now, that was Joe, correct?
No, that was Tom in West Islip, New York.
All right, sorry, Tom. All right, so, yeah, that's something I've read about. That's something that's definitely happened, and you're right. It does go against our First Amendment rights and whatnot. But the thing I want to focus in on, Tom, that you said, that I think is one of the key things that we need to be watching out for in our kids, in ourselves as well, is this idea of fear, okay? We are afraid of what is going to happen to us if this cancel culture were to turn on us. When I look at our children, I see that there are two potential groups of temptations. Some kids are going to be tempted to be the cancelers, and we can definitely talk about those children, but I think the bigger group are the ones who are going to be afraid of being canceled, or who are going to be the canceled one. And what's interesting is that they are tempted. This group, the second group, is tempted in all the same ways that the first group is tempted. But they have additional temptations on top of them, the biggest of which is this temptation to fear, of being completely just paralyzed by the idea of what will I do. One of the things I think was interesting is that for this past election, we saw early on in the coverage, people were talking about how all the exit polls were just so completely skewed and so completely wrong. And I happened to be watching the coverage on Daily Wire, and one of the things that they talked about was how that you have these closet Trump voters who, when approached by a pollster outside of a polling facility saying, you know, who did you vote for, they were afraid of telling this pollster that they had voted for Trump. And that's one of the reasons they believe that the polling data was so skewed, especially early on. You know, Biden didn't have the landslide and so on and so forth. Now, we won't get into the whole discussion about who won the election or anything like that, but definitely want to focus in on this idea of us being afraid. That is definitely something that we're going to have to talk with our kids about, how to approach that fear, how to grapple with that fear from a biblical perspective.
Thank you so much, Tom. Keep listening to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and to keep spreading the word about the program in West Islip, Long Island, and beyond. Okay, so parents are sitting down with their kids. How young do we start the conversation on cancel culture with them? And what would be the most delicate version that we start off with very young kids, and how do we progress as they get older in our defining it and warning about it?
Fantastic question. And I think the best way to approach our children on any topic is to approach them where they are. That means that we have to keep an understanding of what they know, what the words that they're familiar with, their own personal experiences. Because the reality is that a child who has the ability to communicate is a child who likely has already canceled somebody. I want to go back real quick before we get into this answer and just remind ourselves what I'm talking about when I say cancel culture, okay? I said that it involves illegitimate authority, unrighteous punishment, or both, and a good way of summing this up is that cancel culture involves unrighteous people punishing people in unrighteous ways. So let's apply that to a three-year-old who's playing with a toy, has that toy taken from them by a sibling or a child in the nursery, who then retaliates. That child is taking it upon themselves to punish the other child for this thing that they did, but the child, the punisher, is not doing it in any more, not glorifying God in the way they did it either. So children understand these concepts. They don't have to be taught how to sin. They do, however, have to be taught how to respond to that. So one of the things that I think is really important to start with is that children are all tempted to believe that they can define right and wrong outside of God's word. They can be the sole source of what it means to be right and wrong. I didn't like that you did that, therefore you are wrong. This is why children will throw temper tantrums when they're in a store and they ask if they can have a toy and a parent says no. The child has decided that you are wrong. You are not allowed to tell me no, and I am now going to punish you for doing so. So regardless of the age of the child, I think that definitely the first place we want to start is to deal with the temptation that they have day in and day out, moment by moment, to define right and wrong by their own standards. Secondly to that, those same children are going to be tempted to believe that they have the right to punish people who do and say things that they don't like. That's always how it's going to be. If I'm God, if I get to define morality, if I get to define what's right and wrong, then I get to throw lightning bolts at people who are wrong, which is why all those ancient false gods were depicted that way, because mankind was just saying, well, if I were a god, this is how I would respond, and that's exactly how human beings respond. So children are constantly tempted to believe that they have the right to get vengeance or to punish people. And so we need to help our children with that as well. We need to sit down. We need to have very real conversations with them in the moment when they have retaliated against a sibling or they have they've thrown a temper tantrum with mom and dad. One of the things that we need to discuss is the fact that they don't get to be the boss. They don't get to mete out punishment. By the way, just as a side note on this particular topic, parents, I would strongly encourage you to stop using the word punishment to describe what you do to your kids. And let me tell you why. Punishment is the process of enacting harm on an offender for no other reason than they deserve the harm because of what they did. Okay? Yes, it's sometimes true that the experience of being punished may teach the offender a lesson, quote-unquote, but the action itself is simply designed to penalize the offender. Often, the punisher doesn't care if a lesson is learned or not. So, for example, a speeder, being required to pay a hefty fine. The example that we used earlier of Cain punishing Abel by murdering him. But we also have to understand that punishment is also oftentimes a righteous thing. God has often punished sinners, and the lake of fire is going to be the ultimate and final act of punishment for all unbelievers. God's punishment is righteous and appropriate, even though it often does not allow for any lesson to be learned. Okay, so that's the punishment side, and I hope that we as parents, when we give consequences to our kids, it's not simply a punitive act. If it's simply punitive, I, the parent, want you to hurt because you did this thing, that's a wicked way to approach this, and definitely sending the wrong message to our children about how this works. I would encourage us to start using words like, you know, words and ideas like consequences. That's on one extreme a good word to use. However, I don't think it's the best. Consequences are just simply the natural result of any and all actions. So a speeder losing control of his vehicle, slamming into another car, that's a consequence. All right? Consequences are neither righteous nor unrighteous. It just so happens that God created the world to work so that for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. I really think the best word we need to start using with our kids is not talking about punishing them, but really it's talking about disciplining them. Because disciplining is a beautiful hybrid of punishment and consequences. Discipline is designed to teach the offender an important lesson about the consequences. Sometimes it involves pointing out the consequences that are already apparent. Sometimes it involves giving secondary consequences to help the individual see and understand the primary consequences of their actions. So, obviously, there's, you know, just like with punishment, there are righteous versions and there are unrighteous versions. But that's the thing that I really want to encourage all the parents listening out there right now. When we talk about this idea of punishing people, it's simply, I want you to hurt because of what you did to me. And that's pretty much never appropriate unless you are the government who's been given the right by God to give righteous punitive judgment, or your God himself. We really need to swing more to the other side of giving consequences and giving discipline.
Yeah, even in reference to God and his own children, I'm not speaking about the reprobate who will be in hell, but his own children are not punished by him. They're chastised by him.
Correct. Yes, exactly. So this is I just wanted to say that because it is definitely important for us to consider. But back to the question at hand, what are some lessons that, you know, that we need to be teaching, conversations we need to be having with our kids? Definitely that they don't get to define right and wrong. They don't have the right to punish anybody. However, this one starts to be a little bit more subjective depending on the child and what's going on. Because there are many different sins inherent in the individual who is engaging in sinful cancellation. So pride, vengeance, sinful anger, wicked communication, slander, malice, the list just goes on and on. And if there are any specific questions that come from people about those specific things and how to talk with a child about that, I would love to have that conversation. However, I think, though, we also need to talk about, like I said earlier, the kids who are really the ones who might be canceled or the ones who are being canceled. Because in addition to the lessons we just talked about, we also, again, need to talk to our kids about what fear is, why the Bible has fear not in it so many times, what the opposite of fear is, and how we should respond when scary people are doing scary things in our lives. And all of these conversations have age-appropriate versions to them. There's also a big thing that starts to happen, and again, this is something we can teach all children, that starts to happen in the cancel culture. And that is that these overseers of cancel culture, they're bearing down on us, they're putting huge pressure on us, and oftentimes we're tempted to believe that they might be right. You know, we're sitting there and we're starting to look that we're just being ganged up on from every side. So a child is at school and all these kids are making fun of them for being a Christian or going to church or the way they dress or whatever else. And eventually this child may start to believe that this cancel culture is right and they've been wrong all along. And so talking with our children about what that looks like, how the only way that we can ever guarantee that we are right is when we agree with God and his word. And then also, you know, children are tempted to bitterness and resentment when they are in a position where they're being canceled, where somebody is unrighteously punishing them for something, right or wrong. That's definitely something that needs to be addressed, helping the child to realize what the root of bitterness is and the effect it has on their lives and how to cut that root out of their lives. And I guess, you know, one of the last things I would say is that oftentimes the person being canceled is often tempted to retaliate. They just choose to fight cancellation with cancellation. And so, you know, we have to help our kids understand when you are wrongfully treated, when people abuse you and they say wicked things about you. In Matthew chapter 5, this is how Jesus says we need to respond. So yes, there are many different lessons that we can pull right from the scriptures, and we can sit down, have these conversations with our kids before, during, and after, God forbid, they be canceled, that will help point them to the truth of God's Word and help them to find hope for how to navigate the situation. And I'll just say, going back to what Tom said, all of that is appropriate for us adults, too. We have to recognize that Daniel, in the book of Daniel, was being canceled. He was praying to God. And these governmental authorities went to the king and said, you know, this man's doing this. And not only did Daniel continue praying to God, but he continued doing it the way he had always done it. He opened up his window, he sat there in his window, and he prayed to God. He was unabashed. He was not fearful of what was going to happen to him. Not because the guys didn't try really hard to scare him. I mean, the threat of being thrown into a lion's den is a scary thing. But Daniel didn't fear repercussions of being canceled specifically because he knew God. And that, I would say, is that God has to be the starting place for all of us. If our children do not know who God is, what he's capable of, his amazing love, his sovereignty, his power, then yeah, we have lots of reasons to be afraid. But when we understand who he is, when we see his power historically in the scriptures and in our own lives, it actually becomes more and more difficult to be afraid of these puny humans running around threatening us. Because like Jesus said, we should not fear man. Worst thing he can do is kill the body. We need to give God the fear that he deserves.
Amen. We have to go to our midway break right now, and please be patient with us because it's the longer than normal break in the show. Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break in the middle of the show because they are required by the FCC to air their own public service announcements and other local things to localize Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and all of their programming geographically to Lake City, Florida. While they do that, we air our globally heard commercials, and we ask of you please to try to write down as much of the information as possible for as many of our advertisers as possible, including the ad that A.M. Brewster announces on this program. And please try to respond to our advertisers, first and foremost, obviously, to buy their products, use their services, visit their churches. But when you can't do those things, at least respond to our advertisers to thank them for sponsoring Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. That will go a long way. We want our advertisers to know that you appreciate where they spend their hard-earned money. And if you love this show and you don't want it to disappear, always remember that we absolutely, positively depend on the finances that come in from our advertisers to exist. As much as we love and appreciate and need donations from individuals and churches, the number of people who are donating to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, unfortunately, are too few, even though there's some very generous people out there who have been very faithful. Comparatively, the number of people are too few to support this program exclusively by donations. So please remember that and try to respond to our advertisers as much as you can. And also send in questions to A.M. Brewster at chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
Hello, dear ones. My name is Justin Peters, and my friend Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I are frequently blessed to share great times of fellowship with one another at conferences all over the United States. We'll both be enjoying more fellowship together at the G3 Conference in Atlanta, Georgia, Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October the 2nd, on the theme, Christ is Supreme Over All. I'll be speaking there along with over 20 other speakers, including John MacArthur, Phil Johnson, Bodie Balcom, Joel Beakey, and James White. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. Please join Chris Arnson and me September 30th through October the 2nd at G3 2021. This is Justin Peters reminding you that Christ is supreme over all.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Here's what Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, had to say about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio recently.
Good to be back, Chris. I always enjoy our time. I have to say you're one of the better interviewers out there, and I've been doing this for more than 30 years.
Wow, that's some compliment. How much do I owe you for that?
you don't have to owe me anything, so we're in good shape.
I'm glad you said it on the air, so I don't have to brag about myself.
Tell your friends and loved ones about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, airing live Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time at ironsharpensironradio.com.
Are you tired of looking for the silver bullet when it comes to health and wellness? Are you frustrated with the medical status quo, which masks symptoms and doesn't treat the root problem of sickness? More importantly, are you looking for one of the most unique books ever written, which gives you safe, low-cost, and proven options to regain your health the way God intended? Then look no further than my new book, Health for All of Life, a medical manifesto of hope and healing for the nations. Hi, I'm Jason Garwood, and I'm a husband, father, pastor, and writer whose passion for helping people led me to write this book. If 2020 has proven anything, it's that big pharma, big tech, and big government knows nothing about how to treat people naturally without poisoning them with synthetic drugs and experimental vaccines. But what if God has given us a better way? What if we can take the Christian worldview found in the Bible and apply it to health and wellness? My book, Health for All of Life, does just that. You can find this exciting new book on Amazon. Pick up a copy for yourself and for your friends and family. Give the gift of health and don't be a dead end to truth.
Was your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor, or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion? Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic. Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. Buttafuoco & Associates is a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. There's absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claim. You need to call 1-800-669-4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients for representation during this lawsuit. Buttafuoco & Associates, here to help business owners rebuild their lives in the wake of the pandemic. Call 1-800-669-4878.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And one title that you can get from solid-ground-books.com that would be a nice complement to today's discussion is The Godly Home by Richard Baxter. Solid-ground-books.com has many books on all types of subjects that relate to the Christian life and faith, coming from authors not only that exist today, contemporary authors like Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, but also authors from centuries ago, including Richard Baxter and many others. You can never go wrong purchasing a book from solid-ground-books.com because they publish and carry nothing but the finest and theologically sound Christian literature. So go to solid-ground-books.com and always mention Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio whenever you make a purchase from them. I want to thank all of you who have been purchasing many books. Apparently, many of you have been purchasing many books from solid-ground-books.com. Mike Gaidosh, the founder of solid-ground-books.com, has raved to me repeatedly how thrilled he is that he keeps getting new business from folks who make it a point to say, I heard about you from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and repeated business from people who just keep ordering over and over again, who mentioned that they heard about solid-ground-books.com on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I want to thank all of you who are doing that, because you're enabling solid-ground-books.com to continue sponsoring this program. And without them, without the financial support we receive from them, we would likely have to go off the air, barring a miracle from God. So always remember solid-ground-books.com whenever you are thinking about purchasing a book, whenever you are thinking about purchasing a gift, not only for Christian brothers and sisters in Christ, but also for the lost in your life, in prayer that God will use a fine Christian, biblically based book to lead them to salvation in Christ. At solid-ground-books.com, and always remember to mention Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when making a purchase. Before we return to A.M. Brewster, who is our guest today, discussing cancel culture and your kids, we just have a couple of quick announcements. If you love this show, folks, if you want us to remain on the air, please help us. We have been hit very hard financially because of the hysteria going on with the coronavirus pandemic. It has hurt many people in our audience financially, so therefore it has hurt us, because people have not been able to afford to give as much as they used to, as regularly or as frequently as they used to. And I just want to thank God also that there are people who have been hanging in there and who still are faithful in their support financially. And also that we have been able to get new advertisers after having lost some old advertisers. We just thank God for all of you who care enough about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio that you use some of your hard-earned money to keep it in existence. We could really use your donations, folks. If you love the show and you don't want us to disappear, go to ironsharpensironradio.com. Click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card. There will also be a physical address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail in checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio if you prefer that. You can also advertise with us as long as whatever it is you are promoting is compatible with what we believe. You don't have to believe exactly as I do, but you need to be promoting something that's compatible, at least, with what I believe. And we would love to help you launch an ad campaign as soon as possible if you are in that category. Send me an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. Remember, folks, I don't want my listeners siphoning money away from their regular giving that they're accustomed to their own local church where they are a member, in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. In other words, don't punish your own church financially because you want to bless Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Please don't do that. And also, please don't put your family in further financial jeopardy and further peril if you are really struggling to survive and make ends meet. Those two things are commands of Scripture, commands of God in Scripture, providing for your church and your family. Providing for my radio show is obviously not a command of God in Scripture. But if you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, and you love the show, you have money collecting interest in the bank, you have money set aside for recreational purposes, please use some or all of that extra money to help us stick around, if indeed that is your wish. If you love the show and want us to stick around, you benefit from the show, you listen to it regularly, either live or from the downloaded MP3s, however you listen, whether it's on the podcast, on iTunes, or anywhere else you are listening, if you benefit from the show and you have the resources to help us remain on the air, please help us. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Also, if you are not a member of a local, biblically sound, Bible-believing church, no matter where on the planet Earth you live, I may be able to help you find one. I have extensive lists spanning the globe of biblically faithful churches. I've helped many people in our audience in all parts of the world find churches that are biblically faithful right around the corner from their houses sometimes that they didn't even know existed, or they didn't know were biblically faithful churches. So if you are in that category, you need a church, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. I'll do my best to help you find one, either for yourself, where you are intending to join a church, which is your obligation as a Christian, or whether you're going on vacation, you're just visiting an area and you want a church to visit and worship while you're there, or you have a friend, a family, a loved one who is without a church. We can hopefully help you. Send me that email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question to A.M. Brewster on our subject today, cancel culture and your kids. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. We have Joseph in South Central Pennsylvania who has a question, and he says, "Hello, Mr. Brewster. I hope that I'm not steering too far off the subject today that involves children, but I was wondering if you would agree with me that many conservatives were wrong when they were pushing for the intrusion on personal things into the lives of private citizens in order to protect not only conservative views of morality and social activity, but also when things occurred like 9/11. And I believe Homeland Security went too far in its intrusion upon a person's rights to privacy. Could it be that conservatives unknowingly and unconsciously helped create the atmosphere of cancel culture that we are experiencing today?"
That is a significant question to ask, and I'm glad that you asked it. Some of the question, I think, was posed in a little bit of a vague way. I like your specific answer there at the end. And one thing that I would say is that there are proponents, again, as I said earlier, of cancel culture on both sides, okay? And here ends up being one of the biggest issues, okay? Everyone is going to refer to canceling that they don't like as cancel culture and canceling that they do like as righteous and appropriate, okay? But we don't get to be the ones, like I said earlier, to determine which cancellation is appropriate. As Christians, we have to rely on God's definition of righteousness. And though it's true that the Bible gives us absolutely everything that we need for life and godliness through the knowledge of Jesus Christ and His Word, at the same time, there are some things to which I don't know that I feel comfortable speaking. For example, you know, from a governmental standpoint, saying whether or not we should or should not investigate supposed terrorists and so on and so forth in certain ways. But I definitely understand exactly what it is you're saying. And this is where we end up coming into trouble. This is where the world really doesn't care about what God says. So everyone who believes that they have the right to enact vengeance or does so because they don't believe God's going to do it. They either make themselves the authority or they grant themselves the right to punish the person who said the thing that they didn't like or did the thing they didn't like. Or the individual, maybe in the course of the government, actually has a position of legitimate authority and they decide to punish the person who said the thing that they didn't like. And the difficulty in the situation that there's no way to convince anyone to stop canceling because no one can agree on an authority to whom we all need to submit. But we as Christians should all agree on that authority to whom we need to submit. And the other struggle I have with your question is the fact that I used to be an associate administrator of a very large Christian school in the Chicagoland area. And I was the dean of students, specifically, that was my title. And one of the things that I had to do was I had to give consequences and discipline when people decided to break the rules in the school. And whether they were elementary schoolers or high schoolers, I found myself having to expel children because of what they did, what they believed about life, and the actions and words that they spoke based off of those beliefs. And somebody might argue and say that Christians have been canceling people for centuries. But I want to go back to my definition, and here's the point I think where we need to land, okay? When it comes to cancel culture, it involves unrighteous people punishing people in unrighteous ways. Or to make it broader to your question, we could talk about unrighteous people doing things that they should not be doing in order to stick their noses where it doesn't belong. But as like I said, it's a very big topic, and I think that we all have been involved in it. The issue is that it's not cancel culture when God's word makes it clear. And it starts to be more and more cancel culture, and we are the ones setting the rules. So we want to make certain that we are basing our rules off of God's word. However, Chris, on a side note, before we continue, I wanted to say this on our last interview so long ago, and I wrote it down to say it this time. Here we go. You ready?
Yes, I am.
All right, here we go. I am A.M. Brewster, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Oh, great.
I wanted to get that in there. The NASB is my Bible of choice.
Well, I'm going to have to ask you to record an official ad to add to the rotation of other ads.
There we go. I'll be happy to do that. I'd love to do that. Also, for your listeners, Truth or Parent, like I said, has been around since 2016, and we have over 400 podcast episodes that involve interviews, and we have so many resources specifically for biblical parenting. We try to have it all organized well so people can go in there and find our podcast episodes by series and by topic and by guests and so on and so forth. But what we've done is we've created a special page specifically for your audience. It's truthloveparents.com/iron. And if someone types that in, truthloveparent.com/iron, they'll be taken to a special page specifically for your audience where they can get a couple things. First of all, they can learn more about the ministry. All of that information will be right there on that one page. But secondly, they can get direct links to different content that we've created that is specific to our conversation today. Also, direct links to the content that was specific to yours and my last conversation together. All of that is right there, and I want to invite all of your listeners to head over there to be able to get some more specific content that would speak directly to the topics today.
Great. That is terrific. And just to repeat that addition to the website, it's truthloveparent.com/iron, right?
That's correct.
truthloveparent.com/iron. Now, one of the things that we all, well, I guess we all deal with it from one level to another, even as Christians, even those that have the Holy Spirit indwelling us, we are convicted of sin when we transgress God's law. We are growing in our sanctification, but even I think the best of us on different levels have the problem of sinful anger and a desire for retribution and a hateful response perhaps to those that are imposing this cancel culture, woke movement, social justice warrior agenda on us. And what counsel do you have to prevent us from basically attacking sin with sin, attacking hate speech with hate speech, and on we could go, attacking bigotry with bigotry. In fact, that is exactly what I believe the woke movement is doing. They're attacking bigotry with bigotry, and they're even attacking fictitious or invented bigotry with genuine bigotry. So, I mean, we could go on and on and on with that whole concept. But what's your counsel about that?
That's such a necessary question because it is the natural temptation for all people. It was Cain's issue. He didn't like what Abel was doing, and so he did something even worse to Abel. I mean, Abel hadn't done anything wrong, but he reacted in sin. And so that temptation to react in sin to any sin done against us is huge. It's very easy for me, being a very passionate person that I am, to see the injustices of this cancel culture and just for my blood to boil. And I think what we have to remember is that the anger of man does not accomplish God's purposes. But anger in and of itself is not inherently a sin. Now, this starts to get difficult for all of us, because one of the things that we have to recognize about anything that we say and do is it's not just about doing the right thing in the right way. It's about doing it for the right reason. And we can do the right thing in the right way for the wrong reasons and therefore end up sinning against God. And that ends up being the real issue with our angry responses. If I am truly angry, if I'm angry in a biblically right way, for biblical reasons, then God is glorified by that, and that actually would be a correct response to what we're seeing in the world today. However, it won't result in sinful actions like bigotry and prejudice and cancellation and so on and so forth. So how do we determine whether or not our anger, our response to this situation is actually Christ-honoring? How do we guard our hearts in that instance? And I would say that a passage that's very familiar to all of us would be Ephesians 4, 31 to 32. But on a casual reading, it seems like two lists, a list of things we shouldn't do and a list of things we should do, and it's just a bunch of words that we all agree with. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you. But I think that if we take the time to really open our Bibles, and not just to read, but to study for the purpose of understanding, so that we can live in that understanding wisely in this world, we would see that these verses are filled with amazing truths for all of us. And I really just want to focus in on two words in answer to your question, Chris. The very first word in the list of bad things is bitterness, and the very first word in the list of the good things is kind. And one of our problems with coming to the scriptures, like we've already been talking about, is our propensity to define terms in our own with our own understanding. And when we see the word bitterness, oftentimes we, as Americans or English speakers, we are thinking to ourselves resentment. That's pretty much what bitterness means for us. However, that is not actually the word here in the Greek. Okay, this is talking about, like, just for sake of illustration, I don't like coffee. I know I've just lost all of your audience.
Are you nuts?
In the world. I know exactly. Chris will never have me on the show again. But I think that coffee is very bitter.
You would be ashamed of me if you saw my thermos right now. It's the size of a nuclear. It's the size of a nuclear warhead. But anyway,
I'm not going to cancel you because of your coffee habit. I don't do that.
You're actually what? You're just like my friend James White. He doesn't drink coffee ever.
Yay, good for James. But, you know, to me, that coffee is bitter. It has nothing to do with resentment. It just tastes bitter. And that's the word that's actually being used here. Something that is gross in our mouths. And the important thing to understand about this is that this particular word, if you look it up in the Greek, and I'm not claiming to be a Greek scholar, okay, but the study that I've done, we look it up in the Greek, it basically refers to something that is just bad. Something is bad. It's a very general word, actually. Not resentment is too specific. This is something that's just bad. So if my thinking is wrong, if I'm not defining my life the way God defines it, if I'm not looking at my life and myself and the events in my life through God's eyes, then I am thinking bitterly. I have bitterness in me because my thoughts are not true. They're not righteous. Okay? And when that happens, when I allow that bitter thinking to be how I look at a situation, how as I'm being canceled, I'm looking at what's going on in the world today, and I'm looking at it the wrong way, then I'm going to be tempted to wrath and anger and clamor and slander and malice. However, verse 32 says, be kind. And what's interesting is that that's another word that, man, oh, man, this gets a lot of people into trouble because we like to define it however we want. If I said to a million different people, go say something kind to that person over there, they would all say different things using different vocabulary and different tones of voices and different body language, and they define all of those things in different as being kind. And especially when I'm doing marriage counseling, it's so amazing. The husband is saying the wife is not being kind. The wife is saying that the husband is not being kind. And I ask them, what do you exactly mean by kind? And they can't define that term with any biblical sense. They just basically said, well, it feels unkind, or, you know, their tone of voice was unkind. And I'm like, okay, so what kind of tone of voice is kind? And there's just no agreement on that. And here's the problem, because that Greek word, again, is dealing with something. In fact, twice in the New American Standard, twice that word is actually translated good, simply as something that is good. So the word kind in verse 32 is the polar opposite of the word bitterness in verse 31. instead of thinking in a bitter way, instead of focusing on what is not true, instead of believing a lie and being deceived by our hearts about the situation that we're experiencing, we need to have good thoughts, righteous thoughts, truthful thoughts. That leads us to being tender-hearted. That leads us to forgiving. That leads us to what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, which I alluded to earlier. When I'm being persecuted for righteousness' sakes, I recognize that I am blessed. That when people insult me and persecute me and falsely say all kinds of evil against me because of my love for God, I can rejoice and be glad, for my reward in heaven is great. And that's the key thing, that whether it's us or our kids, the cure for this, our fear in cancel culture, starts first with a knowledge of what is true. Now, no more bitter thinking, instead kind, right, good thinking. When that leads us to, I mentioned earlier Matthew 10:24, actually specifically verse 28, do not fear those who kill the body but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. So here Jesus says, don't fear these people, but instead fear God. And then in verse 29, he says, are not two sparrows sold for a cent? And he goes on with that. And then he says, verse 31, so do not fear, you are more valuable than sparrows. And so how does Jesus say, what is Jesus' counsel for us when we're facing fear? He says, don't fear. And how can I tell you not to be afraid? Because I'm telling you what is true about the Father. You need to accept it. You need to believe it. If we believe that we are blessed when we are persecuted, if we believe that God is in control of this, if we believe, as James chapter 1 tells us, that all of these difficulties, these temptations and these trials are being designed to produce steadfastness in us that will help mature us into the image of Christ, if we believe Romans 8:28, that God's working these situations out for good so that we can become more like Christ, then we're not going to have that fear, and our anger will be righteous anger. Will respond righteously versus that anger of man that seeks vengeance and seeks retaliation and retribution because I've been hurt.
Excellent, excellent. We have Susan Margaret in Dauphin County, Pennsylvania, who asked, do you think that an excellent example of cancel culture from the Bible would be the Judaizers? That's an interesting question.
Yeah, it is. It was really good. I mean, Paul interacted with the Judaizers, and specifically, you know, we have his writing where he was interacting with various churches who were either giving in to that type of thinking or they were being persecuted by the Judaizers. I definitely think that's a good way of doing it. And what's interesting is, the Judaizers had, can I say it this way, from a human perspective, they kind of seemed to have a good point. Like the Pharisees were trying to make a good point too, and they weren't Judaizers, but they were trying to make a good point too. What happens though is when we try to take man's logic and apply it to a situation outside of God's truth, we're always going to apply it the wrong way. But they kind of were coming at it from a decent point. You know, the whole Old Testament was written. This is how you need to live your life, right? So therefore, enter in the New Testament, enter into the New Covenant, then obviously we need to continue in all that stuff from before. You got to continue in the circumcision. You got to continue in all of this stuff because it was good then. It's good now. And there definitely was a negative influence as well as retaliation. In fact, we're told that when Paul confronted Peter, one of the things that Peter had done is he had stopped hanging out with the Gentiles who had come to Christ. He wasn't associating with them anymore. We could use the word he was ostracizing them because they were not holding to these Jewish customs and Jewish laws. And Paul got up and said, no, that's wrong. And he confronted Peter in front of everybody to say that is completely inappropriate. So, yeah, I think that's a fantastic observation that would probably, be a biblical example of, sinful cancel culture.
Thank you, Susan Margaret. Keep spreading the word about Iron Sharp and Zion Radio in Dauphin County, Pennsylvania, and beyond. I want to make sure that you provide for our listeners today, because we don't want to run out of time before you have most of what you want etched in their hearts and minds, make sure that you have some, I'm going to make sure that you have some uninterrupted time right now to really focus on things parents should know, and even teachers in Christian schools should know about cancel culture and our kids and their approach to that dilemma.
Well, thank you for that. I really appreciate it. It is a big dilemma because of many of the things that we've discussed so far. It's so emotion-charged. It's so subjective. It's so vile on many accounts that we just have this visceral reaction to it. If you're working with children, one of our natural responses is to want to protect the kids from these things. And parents, I know my wife and I have spoken, and we're facing some temptation to fear ourselves because we are concerned about how this world is going to treat our children. And so, you know, we're being tempted to not put them into certain situations where they're going to have to explain why they are or are not doing certain things. And so, yeah, it's a big topic that affects. It's become such a huge deal. It's affecting every area of our lives. So we're wondering that, you know, if you're eating at a restaurant, you know, I'm not chewing food right now. Should I have this mask on? If I don't have this mask on, am I going to get kicked out of this place? Are people going to take a picture of me with their cell phone? And you know, here I am having a stern conversation with my child in the aisle of Walmart. Is someone going to take a picture of me or a video of me and post it and, you know, and say, who knows what, you know, am I going to have my children taken away from me because, you know, my thoughts about pro or anti-vaccination or whatever, you know, all of these different thoughts are being literally daily shoved into our faces because it's happening all of the time. Kids are being kicked out of school. They're getting consequences left, right, and center because of sometimes very legitimate, appropriate stances on something like was mentioned earlier in the show about this young man who said there are only two genders, only two sexes. He made a scientific, biblical observation, and he was being persecuted for it. So that we have to go to it, recognize, understanding ourselves and our own temptations to this. But then our response to it needs to be not to shelter our children. Obviously, we're not going to throw them into a position where they are going to have to, you know, face the mob on their own. But we don't want to shelter our children. We want to teach them what's going on, as we mentioned earlier, but we also want to prepare them to respond in a Christ-honoring way. I have conversations with my children all of the time. I'll just throw it out there right now. I'll elicit maybe a little bit of a pushback myself. We are not masked people, all right? Not only do we have medical reasons in our family for not wearing them, but I just personally have some very strong issues with that, okay? So I have to have conversations with my children, especially my son, who medically should not be wearing a mask, about exactly what he may experience as he goes out there in the world.
In fact, I just want to interrupt that I am going to I'm going to a doctor tomorrow, a new doctor, Dr. Joel Yeager, who's actually been a guest on this program, and he does not believe any of the mask rhetoric. Nobody on his staff wears masks, and the patients are not required to wear masks either. And I'm just so thrilled about that. So I'm sorry to interrupt you there.
What do you think the commute would be from North Carolina to there? I'm just if you would accept a new patient.
Might be worth it.
I don't have anything. My word. But I have to have these conversations with my son. I have to explain, okay, this is what people might do. This is why they might do it. Can you see their position? And we talk about that. And he says, yeah, actually, I mean, from their perspective, it makes sense. It's wrong, but it makes sense. And then we talk about why we do what we do and how we do it and in a way that hopefully is going to glorify God. So these are regular conversations we have to have. We're not hiding our children from cancel culture, but we're preparing them to meet it. God never called us to protect our kids. He called us to prepare our kids to glorify him in this world. And so I would say that would definitely be one of the biggest things that we need to do. And as we ground our children in who God is, and that's the other side of this, we don't want to just focus on the negative, okay? Cancel culture, this is how we respond, this is what people might do, because that just produces more fear. Now I'm scaring my son because now his mind is filled with nothing more than what might happen to him when he goes walking around. what I need to do is I need to fill his mind with the beauty and the awesomeness and the majesty and the sovereignty of God. I need to help him understand that the steadfast of mind, God will keep in perfect peace. Why? Because the steadfast of mind, he trusts in God. He trusts in the Lord forever, for in God, the Lord, we have an everlasting rock. I need to teach my son how to rejoice in the Lord always, and how when he's being tempted to anxiety, he needs to take those things to God in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, how he needs to let his gentle spirit be known to all people, even those people who are potentially going to persecute him because of what he believes on a subject. And I need to teach him that he needs to be thinking about what is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, of good repute, things that are excellent, things that are worthy of praise. Those are the things he needs to be dwelling on. And then, and only then, can he experience that peace that passes all understanding. So again, what we see so often, at least in my biblical counseling, I see this so often, is that people are looking for a silver bullet. They're looking for a verse that speaks specifically to cancel culture, or a verse that speaks specifically to whatever other parenting issue or marriage issue they may be having. And oftentimes I have to warn them that I'm going to sound an awful lot like a broken record, because the Bible says that the first and second greatest commandments are to love God and to love others. If we only dedicated our time to what it truly meant to love God and understand that and to grow in that, Jesus tells us that everything else, all the other law and the prophets, hang on those two commandments. We will fulfill those. We will glorify God in every other facet of our lives. I believe it was Augustine who said, love God and do whatever you want. Because if we truly know God and we truly love God, we understand what it means to love him, then our lives are going to conform to his will. Whether we're like Joseph, being persecuted in Egypt as the only Hebrew there who believed in Yahweh, who was falsely accused, who was forgotten in jail, treated terribly, he stood firm not simply because of what he of his life experiences. In fact, his life experiences would have told him that he has a lot of reasons to be afraid. He has a lot of reasons to not speak what he believes to be true. That's not why he stood firm. He stood firm because he knew God. This is why he could say to the people in the jail, I can't interpret this dream for you, but God can. He said that to Pharaoh. This is why he said to Potiphar's wife, how can I sin and commit this great sin against God? This is why when his brothers, after his father died, came to them, you know, groveling, please don't kill us, he said, God meant this for good. It wasn't because he had some proverb in his mind about, you know, what to do when people hate you. It's because his mind was consumed with who God is. And that, my friends, right there, is the key. That is the one thing. If we want to set our children, our students, our disciplees, whoever else up for success, it's going to be bathing them in God's word, helping them to know him, to love him, and to live accordingly.
Amen. We have to go to our final break. So if you have a question, send it in now to chrisarnes@gmail.com. We'll be right back with more of A.M. Brewster after these messages from our sponsors.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. My friend Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I are headed down to Atlanta, Georgia once again for the G3 Conference. This year's G3 will be held Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October 2nd on the theme, Christ is Supreme Over All. I'll be joined by over 20 other speakers and musicians to lead in the worship of God through preaching, teaching, and singing, including John MacArthur, Phil Johnson, Conrad Mbewe, Daryl Bernard Harrison, and Virgil Walker. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. Chris Arnzen and I hope to see you September 30th through October 2nd at G321. This is James White reminding you that Christ is supreme over all.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead.
Banu Gadi earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gadi so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio depends upon the financial support of fine Christian organizations to remain on the air, like the Historical Bible Society. The Historical Bible Society maintains a collection of Christian books, manuscripts, and Bibles of historical significance spanning nearly 1,000 years. The mission of HBS is the preservation and public display of ancient scripture, dissemination of scripture, to provide tools equipping believers in Christian apologetics with evidence for the Bible's reliability, and to introduce Reformation literature and Christian art to a broader audience. Since 2004, HBS has toured schools and churches throughout the Northeast United States, reaching thousands of believers and non-believers alike who are hungry for knowledge of the Bible. HBS's founder, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, is committed to sharing this collection along with an inspirational historical message that will captivate you and your church. Come journey through their website, historicalbiblesociety.org. The collection includes a complete 11th century Bible, an actual page of the Gutenberg Bible from 1455, the first book ever printed, the Geneva Bible, the 1611 King James Bible, and much, much more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org today. Thank you, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, for your faithful support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformed.li.net. That's hopereformed.li.net. www.ally.net or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Are you tired of looking for the silver bullet when it comes to health and wellness? Are you frustrated with the medical status quo, which masks symptoms and doesn't treat the root problem of sickness? More importantly, are you looking for one of the most unique books ever written, which gives you safe, low-cost, and proven options to regain your health the way God intended? Then look no further than my new book, Health for All of Life, a medical manifesto of hope and healing for the nations. Hi, I'm Jason Garwood, and I'm a husband, father, pastor, and writer whose passion for helping people led me to write this book. If 2020 has proven anything, it's that big pharma, big tech, and big government knows nothing about how to treat people naturally without poisoning them with synthetic drugs and experimental vaccines. But what if God has given us a better way? What if we can take the Christian worldview found in the Bible and apply it to health and wellness? My book, Health for All of Life, does just that. You can find this exciting new book on Amazon. Pick up a copy for yourself and for your friends and family. Give the gift of health and don't be a dead end to truth.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Paul Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402. Or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
And don't forget to add /iron to find out the special offers for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listeners specifically. That's truthloveparent.com/iron. And Aaron, if you could give our listeners your final thoughts today.
Well, thank you again for letting me come on the show. I do hope everyone will come check out Truth Love Parent and hang out with me on social media. I'd love to be a blessing. I think our news feeds are so incredibly depressing so often. I'd love to help redeem your feet if I can. My friends, love God, love the children in your life. The best way to love the children in your life is to teach them how to love God and to love Him well, to know His Word, to believe it, and to live it out wisely in their lives. Cancel culture is coming for all of us. There's absolutely nothing we can do about it. Things are probably going to get worse before they get better. And so how on earth could we not afford to prepare our children to meet it to the honor and glory of God?
Amen. We have Mike in Monroe, New York. I think Mike may be a first-time questioner. I heard today that Amazon is going to censor what books they will sell. I hear the Bible is being considered as one item they may no longer sell. I don't know if that's true or not. Have you heard anything like that, Aaron?
I have heard people are conjecturing that that is coming. I haven't seen any hard evidence that it's actually happening, but to be completely honest, I have no reason to think that it's not, because all of the stuff that they're canceling and all the reasons they're canceling it, the Bible is filled with it and far more.
You know, it's bizarre if that is true. I was looking for a book, and I found it eventually. It's called Hate. I can't remember the author's name right at this moment, but it was about the founder of the American Nazi Party, George Lincoln Rockwell. And I was shocked to see that Amazon, this is about a year or two ago when I was doing this Amazon search to purchase this book, which, just in case anybody's worrying, it was against George Lincoln Rockwell, not in support of him. But Amazon was selling a ton of things by George Lincoln Rockwell, books that he wrote himself, and books that were pro-Nazi. So it's really amazing if they were to eliminate the Bible. It would also be financial suicide for them, because Christian books, I'm sure, sell in the millions of dollars on Amazon. And that's one of the reasons why, tragically, many Christian bookstores have gone out of business. So I still find that somewhat hard to believe that they would go that far with their censorship, but who knows? People have done things before that have been to their own detriment eventually, so this could be one of them.
Men are constantly, all throughout history, thinking that they can get rid of Christianity by getting rid of the Bible, and so we can't say that they haven't tried over and over again.
Yeah, that seems to be the actually the opposite trend. Maybe this trend is going to come to an end, but the trend in the business world has been that when publishers and record producers saw how much money was being made in Christian books and music, these formerly Christian-owned companies were being purchased by secular companies. So it's kind of interesting, if this were true, that would be a reverse of that trend. Who knows? Maybe Christian bookstores will come back into business then.
They might have to.
Well, I want to make sure again that our listeners have all of the information that they need about you. Oh, and very quickly, Mike in Monroe, New York, if you are indeed a first-time listener or questioner, send me a full mailing address so that you can receive a free New American Standard Bible that will be shipped to you by cvbbs.com. CVBBS.com, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Thank you again for the excellent comment. And truthloveparent.com, and as we said before, if you add /iron, people can find out specifically what you have to offer for our audiences and things that we discussed. Any other contact information or events that you'll be involved in or anything else you want to announce?
I guess the one thing I'd like to put out there is, now that churches are starting to open up again, I would love to get back into speaking, traveling around. I do conferences specifically on parenting, marriage, family, as well as discipleship and what it truly means to worship God. And I would love to get in contact with you. You can reach out to ambrewster.com to find more information and to get in touch with me.
That's A as in Aaron, M as in Michael, Brewster, BREWSTER.com.
You can find all the information there.
Great. Well, I want to thank you again, Aaron, for being such an excellent guest as I knew you would be. I want to thank everybody who listened today, especially those who took the time to write in questions. I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far, far greater Savior than you are a sinner.